Blog Talk Radio.
Coming up next on Movie Geeks United, writer-director Paul Boyd and cinematographer Dennis Maloney discuss their new film, Vicious Circle. Vicious Circle is an upcoming independent coming-of-age drama from writer-director Paul Boyd. This gritty and vividly realized film, featuring a tour-de-force lead performance from skateboarding champion Paul Rodriguez Jr., makes its world premiere at the New York Latino Film Festival on July 25th. Tonight we'll be speaking to Mr. Boyd and his cinematographer Dennis Maloney, a remarkably gifted artist whose previous credits include The Contender and collaborations with Stuart Gordon on Stuck, and Edmund. It is a great pleasure to welcome Paul Boyd and Dennis Maloney to Movie Geeks United. Paul and Dennis, are you both with us?
Yes.
Yeah. How are you doing?
Hey, thanks so much for being with us tonight. It's a great honor to speak to you both.
Likewise. Thanks for having us.
Oh, no problem. Vicious Circle, terrific film, and I can't wait to talk to you about it. But first of all, give me a sense of what inspired you to get into the movie business and how you got started? Paul, if we can start with you.
Yeah, for sure. I started at an early age, got a Super 8 camera when I was a little kid. You know, I started making home movies, got into a band, started making music videos for the band. My own band went to film school. It was like something that started early for me. And the writing came later, you know, probably about 10 years ago. And over the course of that amount of time is when I've kind of developed my writing. So it's really been with me for a long time.
Yeah. Have there been influences for you in terms of films that opened up your eyes and made you think, I want to be part of that world?
When I was a little kid growing up in Scotland, I thought Hollywood only existed in the movies. I didn't even know that it was a real place, I'm going over there, you know. I mean, if it's from classics like David Lean to Martin Scorsese to Man Bites Dog, really, I love everything. You know, I've been watching Hoop Dreams two or three times. I can't, you know, stop watching that. You know, I love everything, and it's more a passion, really being moved by cinema more than a specific genre or director. I mean, I think my favorite's probably Kubrick. Yeah. And that's probably the obvious choice, but I just think, you know, I like his intellectual approach to storytelling.
Sure. Dennis, how about you?
Yeah, pretty much the same way. I mean, I started, as a kid making 8mm movies, you know, my dad's camera and so on. I just fell in love with it and moved to New York for a bit, then came out here and started shooting features. And it's just been wonderful. And, you know, my influences are a lot like Paul's. I mean, Kubrick is huge in my life. And, I remember The Conformist, a Bertolucci movie.
Right, yeah.
It had a wonderful look and all of his movies and, Vittorio Storaro, shooting that. And that sort of got me juiced up a little bit.
So is that where you found your eye focusing on the most or your passion focused on the most in films was the look of it and how that was achieved?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, I always thought about shooting movies. I've been hearing all my thoughts. Every time I heard a tune, it was visualized in my head. That had quite a bit to do with it. And I was a still photographer. I always had a dark room. And, growing up, I was always down there, printing images and so on.
Right, right. Paul, I think I read about one of you, anyway, that you shot, you started by shooting music videos. Is that true?
Yeah. I mean, that started, when I was a teenager, principally because I was in a band and we were just, I was a filmmaker. And so we started doing it for ourselves. And when it came time to go to university, I obviously wanted to study film, but there was only fine art film in London. So that kind of was a natural thing for me to go to. And while I was there, you know, started doing local music videos for bands in London, and ended up coming to America in 91 and really pursued that part of my career while I learned to write and worked with, you know, some of the biggest artists in the world, and, you know, had a kind of window into the, you know, the craziness of rock and roll. And in a way, you know, my film is a little bit like that. I mean, I've definitely, it has a kind of rock and roll sensibility, and I mean, I'd hate to say a music video style because it's the one thing I've tried not to apply to my film.
Yeah.
But I think it's inherent because it's what I've done for so long that the movie is definitely stylized. But that's all deliberate. It's not because I don't know how to do it any other way. It's because I intended to get a kind of heightened look in every aspect of the story and the photography.
Well, this is what fascinates me because so many... I mean, more and more since the music video age has come to be, so many of our greatest filmmakers come up from music videos. I mean, I'm thinking primarily David Fincher comes to mind, and there are countless others. Is that good training ground for a feature director?
You know, I think any filmmaking is good training ground for a feature director. You know, getting behind the lens, having the camera on your shoulder, working with actors, you know, having to work against the clock, you know, deadlines, budgeting. You know, it's the same thing. It's the same. It's just, you know, with a film, it's expanded over a much longer period of time with much more prep. And given that, it's a more pleasurable experience, you know, usually you would think. But with the way we did our film, it was kind of, you know, we did it, you know, with limited resources and it forced, you know, necessity is the mother of invention. And I live by that. And that kind of is part of the process of music videos and commercials to a certain extent because you're working within limited parameters. And, you know, so... there was a lot of similarities to the way that I don't really see a difference. You know, to me, it's just all filmmaking.
Right, right. So tell me about this is your first major, this is your first feature film directorial debut, correct? Vicious Circle.
Yeah.
Tell me about the story and where the idea came from for you.
Well, you know, it started initially as because wanting me to do a film that was, you know, about a family, you know, and about, you know, kind of a film where you get to meet these characters and you get to assume certain things about them based on limited information. And then you get, you know, so it was kind of it was really about that principally of seeing a situation from one side, coming up with a set of attitudes and ideas about what you think it means and then seeing it from another point of view. So mm-hmm. It came from that, you know, that kind of basing on assumptions. And then it just was about, you know, trying to bring opposites together, you know, and, you know, with the idea of the film and the logo of these two, you know, like the yin and yang, these two chess knights interlocked.
Right.
It's about opposites, you know, and so that's why, in a way, you know, the kids are different than their background. You know, they're Hispanic, but they're kind of pushing the boundaries of their own environments. Everyone's like that. You know, there's a lot of contrast within the character. So to me, that's what it was about. It was about trying to create a dynamic that was full of, you know, contradictions and contrast and oppositions, because I didn't want the film to be too comfortable and too easy. I wanted it to be full of conflict because, you know, that is what we kind of deal with on a daily basis, but within a love story. So I had this Romeo and Juliet kind of basis, and, you know, I wanted it to be a tragedy. You know, it kind of came from so many different places. Really, it didn't come from just one idea. It was an amalgamation of trying to create, like, a mythology within this film because of the chess. And it was that was really the issue of creating a point of view rather than a specific story.
So Dennis, when you first were given the script, what were your initial thoughts?
Well, I love the story. I mean, that's when I always read the script, that's the first thing. I just love the story. It's a great story. And you know, we read it again, and then we got together with Paul and talked about, you know, how we'd approach it, and, you know, bright and dark and shadows. And, you know, it's that look that he's talking about, the rougher look. And that's what we did. But I just love the story. Like any good script, it's just a great story. That interests me.
Yeah. We've interviewed hundreds and hundreds of craftsmen in the film industry, from stuntmen to screenwriters and actors and directors and producers, but I've never had an opportunity to speak to a cinematographer, and I've always been so fascinated by what it is you do and the dialogue that goes on between the director and the cinematographer. Could you elucidate that a bit, that relationship between director and DP, either one of them?
I don't really think of myself as a craftsman. I'm an artist who practices cinematography. It's my art. But, you know, it's all, a lot of it's pre-production. You just sort of talk, and there's, you know, movies you refer to, and you talk about the movies you've seen and, you know, how that scene will sort of apply. And you go to the locations, you look at the locations and sort of get a sense for the space and how the actors kind of react within the space and if it helps to tell the story. And then so much happens on the set, you know, when you get everybody on the set and you actually see the actors, you know, doing the scene, and then you get a lot of ideas there as well. But it's a process. It really is.
Yeah. Paul, how about you? What was the importance of having someone like Dennis as your right-hand man on this project?
Oh, my God. It was so important to me because, you know, for me, it was about having that sensibility of knowing that Dennis has been there.
Yeah.
He knows how to tell a story with a camera, principally, that I haven't really done on that level before. I mean, I thought I knew how to tell a story on page, but the cut of the film is different than the script. You know, everything gets moved around. And, you know, I knew with Dennis that he would backbone that I could always say, what's the right way to do this? And listening to Dennis's perspective, to me, was important in getting that kind of, you know, really grounded point of view on how to do this based on a lot of experience. And then that was really what it was. It was just a collaboration, the best way to do these scenes. And of course, you know, a lot of that was forced by the time we had to do them, forced certain issues with how we had to shoot scenes. But
sure.
Going into that, it was just a sharing of aesthetic, you know, what's the right way to do this? And to try and push the boundaries of not just trying to be typical and do what is expected, but, you know, trying to push those boundaries. And I found with Dennis that I had the comfort of knowing that I could push the envelope a little bit, knowing that Dennis would be able to say whether it would or wouldn't work. And it was a really great collaboration in that sense.
Now, this was this shot on digital?
Yeah, we shot it.
Yeah, we shot it with a Sony camera. It's called F900. We shot it all on one lens, or like 90% of it on one lens. It was a zoom lens, and we used a little bit of little filtration, not too much. And that was it. It was a lightweight camera. It's easy. A lot of hand holding in the movie is easy to get around with. It can move quickly because of the lens. We could, we could reframe very easily. It was really terrific that way. And it was. And the images look great. I mean, we've seen it projected doing the color grading later on, and it's about as good an image as you can get.
Yeah, it is. It has. I'm thinking about some great digital films, and you know, the people like Michael Mann have done wonders with digital technology, and it has really come into its own, and it does look very eye popping and effective. But is there anything that it can't do yet that film does for you?
Yeah, there's a lot of information in the shadows in film which you don't really get in digital yet. But you know, they're working on that, and there's something about the chemistry of film emulsion. You know, there's silver halide crystals that just have a uniqueness, those are about the only two differences. But it's getting better and better. You know, it's the future.
Is it more convenient to shoot with? Is it more because of its portability, or does it affect the shooting at all as opposed to film?
No, it's still a camera on a tripod. You got to tell the story. It doesn't really affect it that way now.
Right. So in terms of exploring the it's the last visual question. I'm just fascinated by this. In terms of exploring the theme of this, what kind of visual scheme did you guys come up with to bring out the story and the theme and the conflict of this piece?
Well, for me, I mean, there's a pattern going on in this film, you know, because of the checkerboard, you know, it's the concept of chess. So within a lot of the compositions, there's a lot of graphic square patterns and angles, and a lot of the shots with regards to certain characters, like RJ, when he's running, he's the knight, he's turning right and left angles. I mean, there's a lot of, you know, it's kind of, there's a geometry tied into the certain compositions. And, you know, and again, because the film has this natural, you know, real kind of, you know, set in the real world type of, I mean, it's stylized, but it's real. So it wasn't really about creating, you know, too much of a dramatic mood than an energy.
Right.
It's me, my perspective. I don't know.
Sort of like a black and white movie in color. It was, you know, the shadows and the brightness are very important. And we looked into that and we researched and found places that sort of work there.
Yeah. So tell me about your cast, Paul. You have Paul Rodriguez Jr. in your lead. Is he a first time actor? He's an astounding performance.
Yeah, you know what? He's done a couple of little projects, you know, short films and some stuff with Nike, because you know he's a sponsored athlete. So he's done a lot of little projects, but this was the first dramatic, you know, thing, you know, and a lot for him to chew. But you know, when I met him, it was originally I was looking for an unknown actor, and I didn't want a face. I wanted someone new. And then I thought, well, you know, my kid's skating around in my film. It's not about skateboarding, but I thought, like, if I could find someone that could also skate, then that could help that part of the film. I wouldn't have to get a stunt double, et cetera, et cetera. So I started looking for just young skateboarders in Venice and just interviewing young kids. And someone mentioned Paul to me. And I'm like, you know, I said, that's an interesting, because he's a really good looking, like, he looks like a movie star, you know?
Yeah.
And he was young and he was bright. He was Hispanic. And so when I met him, he just, you know, he has this light inside of him that is so amazing. Like, just radiates good energy, and that ultimately is what this character is about. He's a good guy going through a hard time, and I needed someone that oozed that in their personality, especially because it was an unknown actor, so it needed to be someone that really was like the character in a lot of aspects, and he was. He just has that good vibe, his energy, so it was really easy for him, for me working with him. You know, I just suited a lot of dialogue around that he would talk, and had him rewrite some of the dialogue, and then it was a pleasure. It was one of the easiest things I've done working with him. He took direction well. He had the ideas. You know, he needed pushing here and there a little bit to get him to go to certain places. He's naturally a kind of shy guy, but I mean, he was a pleasure to work with. I mean, wouldn't you agree, Dennis?
Yeah, I agree. He was really wonderful on the set. You know, just. He was a filmmaker, just really wanted to help out, and as Paul said, he took terrific direction. We just enjoyed him. That's really important to have that feeling on the set, you know, that actors and the crew are, you know, getting along and making a good movie, and it's really important. Great attitude. And Emily as well. I mean, she was just really wonderful around.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the cast is fantastic. And did you have the luxury of any rehearsal period with them?
Yeah, I did. I did a couple of screen tests with P-Rod, actually, with Paul Rodriguez Jr., because I wanted to know after I met him. I said, okay, look, I'm going to put a camera on him. I want to see him. I actually screen tested, and then I got him with a couple of the actors. I put him with Emily, put that on tape. No, I put everyone on tape, and we did read-throughs, and, you know, because it was important to me. The period of time we had to shoot it was, you know, we had to know what we were doing going in. I wanted to leave a lot of flexibility and freedom on the set for improvisation and being able to kind of, you know, really bring the film to life on the set and not be too rigid with storyboards and such. So it wasn't so much, okay, this is what we're doing here. We're going to cut to this shot. We're going to go to that. It was just, this is the vibe. This is the energy. This is the intention of what this scene is. However you get there dialogue-wise, if you can, you know, it was that. It really was a truly collaborative process with the actors, and I think, you know, it had to be given how, you know, how we put the film together. You know.
Was there any part of the process that surprised you? I mean, this is obviously you've done a lot of work before, but this being your first feature, or was it all part of the same process, no matter what format?
So many things surprised me. I mean, just the amount of energy that took to keep going from that. I was worried about going in. I'm like, oh, how am I going to do, you know, 20-some days nonstop every day without resting, you know. But it was it really, once I got into that, I was surprised by how everyone just worked together in this kind of harmony. It was, you know, there were a lot of challenges. We lost locations. We had to make things up on the day. There was a huge challenges that happened on this job, but I didn't really look at that as, you know, obstacles. I tried to just be positive because I knew the way that we were all working on the film, it had to be driven a lot by my energy. So in a sense, it kind of, you know, we just had to grin and bear it. And there was a lot of challenges, but the biggest surprise for me was I truly honestly mean this, was I thought it was going to be a lot more difficult working with an ensemble group of new actors than what it was. Because being a first timer, I was like, you know, I could have given myself a list of more experienced actors, but these people were right, and I just had to kind of go with trust. And, you know, and in doing that, I think everyone stepped up to the plate. So that was my biggest surprise. I thought it was that would be a lot, take a lot more time than it did.
Yeah. And in terms of independent production, Dennis, I mean, you've worked on, you know, productions of all sizes. And I'm wondering, is there something special about the independent film? I know I've heard from other artists that, you know, it tends to force you to be more creative in your thinking, because you're constantly faced with compromises here and there that you have to make. Do you find that
true? Yeah, that's true, and I wouldn't say the word force so much as you just make them. And then, you know, you don't have these mucky mucks, you know, looking over you. You can pretty much, you know, go out on a limb and take those risks that, you know, in a larger budget movie where there's more at stake financially, that you don't have that problem. So it's more alive, and you can just do those things, and it always works out. I mean, you never really get into a jam. But yeah, you do have to think creatively too. You're running out of time, running out of money, and you have to get a shot done. And you think about it a little more creatively.
Yeah,
and even faster. You know, smaller crew. So,
but you see what Dennis just said about, you know, you always get it done. See, that attitude of just there is a way, you always get it done by the end of the day. That was a true example of why working with Dennis was so great, because there is a way to get things done, and if you panic and you, because I mean, of course, some days, excuse me, we were shooting 10, 12 pages. I mean, that's 5, 6, 7 times what they usually shoot. So we had to be on our toes and had to be ready to embrace the mistakes, and you know, and that was, to be honest, part of the most exciting thing about it was because I do truly live by that, you know, that necessity is the mother of invention, and truly, when you're pushed into the corner, you know, your wits are tested and your ideas are tested and your experience comes to play. And it did in this film. It really did. It was, I felt, even though there was under a lot of pressure and there was moments between stress, it was still a fun experience, you know, it was still really enjoyable.
So this has to be an exciting time for you. You're a week out from your world premiere at a major festival. What do you want people to take away from this film?
You know what? I want them to be moved somehow, you know, and whether it be made them feel happy, make them cry, like wherever it does, I want them to feel something. And to be honest, I want them to take their own message away from the film. There's so much symbolism and so many different messages within the film that I'm not going to tie it down to one thing. You know, I just hope people take something away from it. You know, I want them to be entertained, and I want them to think. That's it. That's the only – whatever they want to think about, they can think about. I just wanted to make a movie that makes people, you know, think about what's going on within the film beyond the experience of watching the film. And that's why the film is structured in a way to, you know, kind of reflect on things that happened, because that's the concept of assumptions, is that you think you know one thing, but you truly don't until you've experienced someone.
Right. It is a very moving film and a very visceral experience, and you guys both should be commended highly. It's a terrific film, and I'm anxious to hear a festival reaction from it, and I know you are too. Is there anything upcoming for you guys, or are you guys too kind of embedded in this experience to look that far ahead?
No, we're not too embedded. I'm reading some scripts, and I have a couple of offers out there, and we'll see. We'll see how it all works out. But yeah, I love shooting movies, that's for sure.
Yeah.
For me, my focus has been on getting ready. There's about 5 projects that have been written during the making of this film that are already. There's one I think I'm going to start shooting over the holiday. So really, all the focus has been going on to get this thing done, getting the music finished, getting the website up. Just, you know, it's been a tremendous amount of work with a lot of people involved, and you know, I'm just ready to let the baby be born and let it go.
That's just it. Yeah, this is the birthing process right here.
Yeah, it's really good.
Is there a website or some place where our listeners can look look up your film and keep tabs on it?
Yeah, there will be. It's going to be posted by tomorrow, and it's viciouscirclemovie.com.
Fantastic, fantastic.
Yeah, and we'll be posting the trailer, which is amazing. We got a similar group that they hooked us up, and it's going to be on YouTube tomorrow. That'll be on the Vicious Circle movie trailer.
Excellent, excellent. And Dennis, before I let you go, you mind if I ask you about your collaboration with Stuart Gordon? I think he's such a fantastic filmmaker, and these are such exceptional films that you guys have collaborated on. Could you tell me a little bit about that?
Yeah, isn't he amazing?
Yeah.
I've known Stuart for years. We had a lot of friends in common, and I finally work with him, and he's just a terrific creative guy, and he just loves that genre. And he and Dave Mamet knew each other for many, many years, and he shot the David Mamet script Edmund with Bill Macy, and just a wonderful cast. Yeah, Stuart's really great. He's a collaborator. He's laid back, easy to work with, great ideas.
I remember reading Edmund in high school.
It is such
an exceptionally challenging piece of work. Yeah, and I can never imagine. I was thinking, man, I wonder if this would be able to be adapted to film. Was that a particular challenge or?
No. Well, not really. I mean, Stuart was very well prepared. We had a great assistant director, and it was all scheduled. We shot that thing in 16 days, and it has incredible production value, but very well organized, the whole thing. It's like Shakespeare. I mean, you don't change a word. Like every that Bill Macy said was scripted. If he did that five times, it was on the script five times. And there were some little changes, like in the script, the script that said something like, "Can I borrow a dime for the phone?" And of course, it doesn't work anymore, so it was changed to a coin for the phone. Just little things like that.
Wow.
But we had a ball doing it, and just the wonderful talent, Bill and Julia Stiles.
These are quintessential Mamet actors too.
They all know them. Yeah, Rebecca Pidgeon was in it, David's wife, and Mina Savari was in it too, did a great job. She played a whore, and we did another movie with her, Stuck, with her. She played opposite Stephen Ray, the great Irish actor.
New
Brunswick.
Oh, fantastic, fantastic work from both of you guys, and I thank you so much for joining us tonight, and the movie's Vicious Circle, it premieres next week, July 25th at the New York Latino Film Festival. And I would imagine it's making the festival circuit around the country from there, correct?
Correct, yeah. That's the plan, at least, anyway. And we hope so. So far, so good.
All righty. Well, we will be cheering you on, gentlemen. And please feel free to come back to us anytime you'd like in the future.
Thank you so much for your generosity.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Good talking to you.
You
right,
too. Bye-bye now. That is writer-director Paul Boyd and cinematographer Dennis Maloney. The new film is called Vicious Circle, and it opens at the New York Latino Film Festival next week. Are you a filmmaker looking for a great score for your next movie? Well, look no further than Michael McCormick, the composer whose works you hear at the opening and the closing of every episode of Movie Geeks United. This is a phenomenal talent, and you can hear more samples of his work at michaelmccormickmusic.com or on his MySpace page, which you can access through the Movie Geeks United Top Friends.